Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Just switch myself on. This is... Cool. Chris, are you happy with me? Awesome. That sound interesting.
Yes, there we go.
That's my heart. I'm nervous. Side note, this used to be A3 sized, and it's now reduced to this. I was saying with the team when we were praying, I sense God was just like, listen, can I do a little bit of chopping to your sermon? And I was like, no. Because I like to think a lot, and I like to write a lot. So there's a ton of stuff that I wanted to share tonight. And God is like, 3 points. That's all you get. And I'm going to be obedient to that. I think I've said it many a times. I'm a bit of a nerd. So those who know that title, there's a little bit of a quip, Endgame. I haven't watched it. Please don't tell me. Don't spoil it for me, but I remember just as I was walking through emotionally, just this moment, and God was kept on saying, finishing strong. And I said, God, how does that look like? What is it about this that you keep on hammering, finishing strong? And I walk around a lot. That's why they gave me this, because my hands are up here. I'm a creative, so it helps me to think. What I'm doing this is I'm getting all my thoughts back into my head. And I said, God, I want to finish strong. Wherever I go, wherever it is, you want to make sure that whatever that is that you did doesn't die with you. I was saying to the team, I got a picture of a baton, the one that you know, when you're doing relay, but sort of those hollow ones. If you went to one of those really cool schools, like the fancy one, you either got the wooden one, which is super heavy, which I believe made you lose the race because it was heavier, or you got the really fancy ones that were super light. And God said, what is going to be inside that baton for the next generation? What will you leave behind? What will your end game say about you? And I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. By the way, the reason why I'm using my phone is that because my MacBook died. Yes, I know all the Windows people are like, aha. I didn't charge it, and I don't have the charger. But I want to be brief and to the point. I love the writer here. He says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that I have so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I was busy fighting with God, and I said, okay, only 3 points. You'd better make it brilliant. Because usually I believe like content kind of saves you sometimes. And God was like, I'm not a runner by any stretch of the imagination. But I did get invited to a trail run once. All 10 glorious kilometers of trail running. I'd never run 5Ks before that or even 2. And there I showed up because I wanted to impress somebody, as we all do things. I remember standing amongst this crowd, this cloud of amazing witnesses to what was going to be an epic fail of a run. I certainly did not look the part. I did not have the shoes for it. I was wearing lifestyle shoes. You know the shoes that make you look good when you're walking around the block? I had those on for a trail run. So I'm pretty sure some people gave me a quick look, and they were like, trouble's coming. But because I am super competitive, you size people up. So I find this one Dani who was super kind, and I started speaking to her. Unbeknown to her, I had made her my mark. I was like, if I can stick with her, I'll be okay. And I think she probably looked at me and looked at what I was wearing, and she was like, Nina, come closer. I'm going to baby you throughout this race. So we were good. Dani and I had a partnership. She was going to look after me. I was going to stick quite close to her. And that became my prize. Like, my prize was, if I can at least just stick with her, I'll be okay. About 2 kilometers into the race, everything was fine, and then I actually went right past her. What now? It's a little bit like life, isn't it? We set these goals. If I can just hit that thing, I'll be okay. Like, that is going to be amazing. If I can get that degree, if I can get that house, if I can, whatever it is, if I can get into shape, whatever it is. And then you get it, and then what now? I'm spoiling this sermon because I'm going to tell you sort of the climax of it, in that we tend to invest an eternal heart into temporary treasures. We do that. We take this heart that was made for forever, and we literally are hoping that temporary stuff is going to suffice. But let me not get ahead of myself. This scripture, beautiful scripture, I wish I had read that before I did the trail run, because it sets the tone. It tells you that this runner who's going to get into this race, he has determined that I'm going to win. Like when you think of the Comrades Marathon, thousands of people show up, but there's one guy and one girl who's going, I see all of you, but I'm going to win. And I believe, I don't know, runners will either prove me right or wrong, but it's all about the head game. That's where you lose the race, in here. And I soon found that out. As the trail run started, I started with what I call beginner's luck and beginner's naivety. I was like, I've run before. I've walked distances before. I can do this thing. And I took off 2 kilometers. I was like, it's pretty nice. I even left my mark. I think it was about the 6 kilometer mark, which felt like 60 kilometers, but as it's the 6 kilometer mark, that my head began to wander. All kinds of thoughts just started going through my head. I was like, okay, wait a minute, this should be 6 kilometers. Okay, we're doing good. I think we're doing okay. I was looking at the people that I was running next to, and then I started comparing myself, as we often do in life. Should I be running this fast? What's my time? At that time, I was running with somebody who actually she's a runner. That's what she does. And I didn't see her. I mean, I was like, she's gone. I'm going to catch her at the end of this thing. In fact, I think she was doing 21. And in my head, I was like, okay, I'm running 10. She's running 21. It would be terrible if she ran 21 and I found her at the finish line and I'm doing 10. If those of you who've run trail runs, can you see the danger that's coming there? I'm not concentrating. I'm not concentrating, and I'm not going to tell you what happened next just yet, but I was running aimlessly. To be quite honest, I lost that race. I didn't lose the race, but let's be honest, I wasn't running to win. I was just like, can I just finish so I can get a medal, so I can hang it and show it on Instagram, because that's what we do these days. We do things for Instagram, honest truth, right? I just want to be able to say, I did a trail run at Rosemary Hill, yay, and I finished it. But to be quite honest, there was no prize, or the prize was actually quite fickle. Somebody won that race that day. They got the prize money. I got a finish. I was like, I didn't die, which is commendable. My choices were faint, or feign death, or actually die. That was my parameter for this race, because, like I said, I'm super competitive. But truth be told, I had never trained for this race. I never prepared for it. And it's a little bit like our Christian life as well. We can tend to do that. So I am a PK. I'm a preacher's kid. My dad is a pastor. Mom ran Sunday school. So I was always up front. I was always expected to remember the memory verses that my peers clearly did not memorize before coming to Sunday school. It was always on me. So I learned how to perform. On Sundays, I would be the most amazing Christian in the world. You could ask me pretty much anything, and I was pretty much going to remember it. It was expected of me. To a large extent, my early Christian life was driven by fear. Fear of that I will not be the part that I think other people expect me to be. And isn't it funny? Like, I always tell my friends that I draw life lessons from the most weird and random things in life. And that trail run for me, like I said, I wish I had read that. There was no strict training. There was no preparation, none whatsoever. By the 6-kilometer mark, there was a little root about that high jutting out from the ground, and it got the better of me. Yeah. That small. A whole man came attacking the ground. It was not glorious, the sound that came from my mouth. But it was a moment to say, you were not concentrating and you got caught off guard. And that was what tends to happen to us sometimes. We start to wonder. My next scripture, which is Hebrews 11, I love this one. We have read it many a time. I've read it many a time in most of the sermons. I think that this might just be my favorite sermon or my favorite scripture in the whole of the Bible. And I love how it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every encumbrance. And I chose this specific version because I love the word encumbrance. And the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with endurance the race set out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We always concentrate on the sin part of the scripture. Like we hammer it, yeah, I've got the sin down. But I started to ask God about that weight, and I said the word encumbrance, I went and searched it up, and it says sometimes distraction. Burden. It's so easy for good things to become distractions. So easy. And I really went to battle this one. I said, Lord, explain it to me. Just we understand the sin part, but the encumbrance, what is this weight that so easily, the other one says, besets us? It can be the pursuit of a certain career goal, the pursuit of even a partner, the pursuit of whatever it is that your heart desires can easily become a weight. How does it become a weight? Take an audit of your prayers and your thoughts. It's a quick place to actually go and check what fills your prayers, what fills your thoughts, and you'll know soon very well what is seeding upon your heart. Like, what is the thing that runs your heart? For some of us, it's, Lord, can I just make sure that I do my parents proud? And that can literally start to shape your life. In that race that I was running, my fear of looking bad, my fear of the fact that I was grossly unprepared for the race that I was running started to literally dictate to me how I was going to run. Or the fact that I wanted to look good next to the pro runners who looked like they were running in slow motion, but they were so fast and so far ahead of me. I was no longer running my race. I was literally running the race according to somebody else. The finish line, guys, I couldn't even picture what the finish line looked like anymore. I was so dogged by the size of the thing that I was doing at that very moment. And we tend to lose perspective. We tend to lose perspective so easily. Like even right now, as I stand up here, I am trying so hard to make sure that I remember what the finish line is. And the finish line is to make sure that by the time that we leave here, our hearts are right back to Jesus Christ, who is the perfecter and the pioneer of our faith. Listen, there is nothing I can tell you that's amazing. I think I'm a pretty knowledgeable guy. I read quite a lot. I think I'm smart. I'd like to think so. My friends, sometimes. But all of that's not going to change your life. None of that is going to change your life. I said it in the last sermon, the art of joy, that joy joy is not happiness. A lot of people tend to think that joy is happiness. It's not. Joy is actually what gets us through life. When it says, who for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross because joy said to him, listen, can you see what's behind that cross? Salvation. Can you see them? They're saved. The multitudes, they're saved, and they're going to be singing to the Lord of Lords. I love the song that we sang today, now unto the Lamb who sits on the throne. Can you imagine if our lives, all we were doing, were going now unto the Lamb who sits on the throne? That's literally how we live our lives. That yes, I'm going to have horrible moments in this life, and yes, I'm also going to have amazing moments in this life, but all of that now unto the Lamb who sits on the throne. I think it's Isaiah chapter 6, and it's not up there. It starts off with, when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on his throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And I remember looking at that, and I was like, Lord, I really would love to know what that felt like. I love that you read further on in that, and it hits him that this holy moment that's happening, he is unworthy. And what happens in that moment is beautiful because, yes, this salvation, God literally cleanses him. He justifies him. But there was almost an acknowledgement that I am not aligned to him. That whatever I've been doing does not culminate at him being the prize. And that's honestly right now what I am working with, everything that I have within me and by the grace of God, to go, God, can I make sure that by the time I am done here, somebody will say, listen, we saw Jesus Christ working in his life. That's like the biggest legacy I can think of. Maybe there's a bigger one, but right now, and it sounds almost like a selfish question, isn't it? But what will people say when I'm gone? I love the fact that we sit here and we read scripture that was entrusted to ordinary human beings just like us, but they gave everything. Paul, they gave everything so that we might too be able to look to Jesus Christ. Like I said to you, this relay that we run, when we hand over our baton, what will fill inside? Almost see like little scrolls on the inside. What will those scrolls say? Will they be filled with words that point to Jesus Christ or to something else? Like I said, we tend to invest eternal hearts into that which is it. Temporary, will not last. We hope to fill this heart that was made for God, that has, I almost want to say, a God-sized void. And it sounds terrible, God-sized void. Oh, but literally, we're born with this desire and this hunger for God. We don't know it. And what we do, we tend to chuck stuff into it and hope that it's going to fill. I'm a tech person, so I love tech. I remember when I got this phone that I'm using right now. It was so glorious. I held it in my hands. It looked like I was holding a baby, guys. It was terrible. I didn't want to drop it. I was so careful with it. And literally the next day, it was a phone. And I was like, wow, that didn't last as long as I thought it would last. I have this amazing friend. He is walking an interesting journey. And he doesn't mind me sharing this, but I spent a weekend with him, and there was this morning he had just bought the car that he really wants. He's a young executive. He's living the life. You know, he's living where he wants to live, not like, oh, I have to live here. No, he's like, I really love where I stay. he's having it that good. Okay. He's driving the car that he wants to drive, not like the one that he has to. And I remember this one particular morning, I'm thinking, God, this guy has got an amazing life. And then he turns to me and says, so he calls me Nando, that's my nickname. He says, Nando, but then why am I not happy? Why am I not happy? I was like, I can give you so many reasons why you should be happy, because I'm looking at your life right now. And as we're just chatting, he turns around and looks at me and says, you know, I've spent a couple of hours with you. There's something about you. You have a life. You have something about you that I don't have. And I mean, when I say he's got the life, I mean he's got the life. He's got the social life back. He's a really charismatic dude. He's got an amazing thing going for him, but he said to me, I am trying to find happiness right now. I don't know where it is on the compass. I'm trying to find the direction. If it's north, I want to find the north that is happiness. That is my mission right now. And that just blew me away. For me, it was a moment of, okay, wait a minute. He said I've got life. For me, it was a moment of, what do I have, God? Because clearly I'm not seeing it. Clearly I'm not seeing it. Matthew 6 speaks about, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to ask us a question. What do you treasure most? What can you not imagine losing? Just be honest with yourself. For some of us, oh my goodness, I cannot imagine myself not getting the degree that I came here for. And listen, if you're honest with yourself, that's okay. Now you know what you treasure. As Philip mentioned, I am moving and transitioning into a new space. A complete career change, by the way, which is daunting. I'm 34 years of age. I don't look like it, but yes. Can I be honest with you? I am frightened. Everything that I know, I studied graphic design. I'm a creative. Everything that I know going into this next chapter of my life has zero value, actually. And I'm scared to death, to be honest. But it's also taught me that for the last couple of years, perhaps maybe my hope, my strength has been invested in me, what Ndando can do, what I know. Now I literally am going, okay, God, if you don't show up, then we're ending up on a park bench somewhere. And that's not a very good sight. But it also showed me what I started to prize, like the things that I thought would fulfill me or the things that I hope for, that if I don't have this, I'm going to die. You know, some of us speak like that. Oh, if I don't get this, I'll just die. And God is like, well, you didn't get that. Because in my head, this is my vision. I'm working for like the biggest ad agency in the world. I've got like super trendy glasses because that's what all creatives do. We've got like these red, bright red glasses. And I'm sitting in a corner office and I'm ordering lattes. And, you know, I've got a whole team underneath me and I'm telling the intern to go like get me something ridiculous. That was the vision, that was the prize, that was the goal, and that didn't happen. I was like, okay, God, now what? What do I have? What do I have? Because to be honest, that's what I had invested my heart into, that's what I had treasured. I can tell you that the first time I walked into this church, and I think I was sharing it with woman Danny, that I actually sat somewhere around there. And I was looking at these crazy people who were super happy to be serving Jesus Christ. In fact, the then senior pastor, Heinrich Titus, was right about there, and it looked like the man was trying to reach for the ceiling in the way that he was jumping in worship. And a now good friend, then stranger, walked up to me at the coffee stand and said, I'm going to be your best friend, to which I was like, whoa, that's a bit intense. But you would literally come, you know, become a good friend. As I stand here tonight, it dawns on me that this is treasure worth having in heart as well, community. Like, you guys have no idea what you have here. I look at the relationships that I have been blessed with, relationships that have spoken into my life and relationships that have allowed me to speak into their lives, and I'm a wealthy man. And God gives us that community. He gives us that. We get to literally put that into our hearts because we were made for that. That's why when God was looking at even at Adam, as amazing as it was, when he said to him, it's not good for a man to be alone. We were created for community. That God would literally come down into the garden and speak to his creation. That for me shows a God who loves community. And this is not in my notes, but I just wanted to make sure that you guys get that do not take for granted that which we have here. In a world that is so connected, and you've heard me say this a lot, we're the most disconnected. Like people are genuinely looking for communities. You know, they always say, find your tribe. You know, that's like the really cool thing to say. Find community. People are looking for a place just to belong where I can be vulnerable. I was at my best mate's wedding yesterday. That's why I look like this. He's Sotho, so that hence the Sotho jacket or the Sotho blanket on this top. And I looked at how all of us rallied around him as he was getting married. It was such a glorious thing. There were the invited guests that came when everything was okay, but I think we enjoyed it more because we knew that when they were going, oh, wow, that flower setting, we're like, yes, we put that there. It's amazing, and we're glad that you're enjoying it. It was a community. And I said to him, looking at the friends that were gathered around him and listening to them speak and give their speeches, I said to him, you're a wealthy man because I've just listened to the people that surround you and are speaking into your life. You're a wealthy man. But that doesn't happen when you're running solo, when you're all by yourself. And sometimes the races that we run tend to put us in spaces that leave us being solo. We run by ourselves. Can I plead with you that don't fall into the trap of me, myself, and I? We're in a world that celebrates the individual. Go at it alone. Stand head and shoulders above yourself, everybody else. You know, there's this motivator who sounds amazing, and I love motivational speaking. It's beautiful. But this is one quote that this guy said and said, you need to focus on yourself and forget about everybody else. And I was like, that does not sound like scripture. Because what I've been taught is that we serve each other. I love the fact that as amazing as it is to stand up here, I am not above my friend calling me and going, listen, that thing that you're doing there, that's not cool. You need to bring that back in. I looked at my best friend getting married last night, and I know that he's benefited from friends who have been brave enough to tell him, like, listen, that is not the best, God's best for you. You need to quit that. You need to stop doing that. And that's the power of community. That's what we should treasure in this world, I believe. There's a scripture that is at the end of this, but I'm not going to use it because I'm going to just stop right here and say, listen, no, it's cool. You can flip it back. I want to implore us that tonight, let's take a moment just to, like I said, just figure out what's filling our hearts. Will it get you to the end of the race? In fact, can I ask you, whatever is filling your heart right now, have you imagined what the finish line for that looks like? So if it's a career, here's the finish line. At some point, you're going to retire. They're going to say, thank you. You've been an amazing employee. Here's your final severance check. And then guess what? The following day, somebody else is going to sit at your desk. If you're lucky, they'll put your name on a plaque, and then some guy's going to walk and say, who's that? That's your finish line. Whether it's to raise a family. Funny enough, that can become a thing that we treasure above Jesus Christ. Here's the finish line. At some point, your kids are going to go off to varsity, and they're going to have their own families, and then you're going to be in the house all by yourself. That's your finish line. I know it's a bit of a grim picture, but that's the reality of it. But what about Jesus? I read, I'm not sure which part of Revelation it is, but it speaks about him whose eyes like fire, whose voice thunders, with hair white like wool. And I think it says skin like burnished bronze. And can you imagine standing in front of him? And then he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Like, I get goosebumps thinking about that. That's the prize, right? That's it. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's not just some king, but this is the King of forever, the King of everything that we know to be life or even reality. He stands there, the one who commands legions upon legions of angels, who is the Lord of all, will one day say, well done, good and faithful servant. And to be honest, sometimes I struggle with that being the prize because sometimes the stuff that's here shines so brightly sometimes that it takes my eyes off the prize. That old song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. Here's why we need to do that, because sometimes those things that shine so brightly, they get outdated, they get stolen, we lose them, and then we're right back to square one, foraging in the darkness, trying to find some sort of direction, some semblance of light. Somebody said it the other day that you shared a little bit that some people live in these horrible cycles where they will literally, we fill ourselves with things that cannot last, and then when that runs out, we fill ourselves up again, and we fill ourselves up again, and it's just this horrible cycle of going nowhere. You know, and guys, don't get me wrong, I have nothing against the things of this world. If you're a person that likes, I've got a friend who likes gadgets. He loves gadgets. That's cool. Just as long as they don't become your treasure. I enjoy nature. There's nothing I enjoy more. As a city boy, I'm a Joburg boy. I love the city. I love the smog. I love the traffic. But when I go to the mountain, and a while back I had the awesome opportunity to go with some friends to go and actually see the Drakensberg for the first time as a city boy. Thank goodness that you guys went there, and I was like, wow, wow, that was me the whole way. I got reminded just of God's power and beauty. And I remember yearning to want to experience that. And we were praying with the team, and I said, one of the things that hit me real hard this morning was, God, do I have the same yearning as to see that wonderful mountain? Do I have the same yearning to see somebody come to Jesus Christ? Do I have it? And the honest answer was, not quite. What happened? What happened? I lost sight of that which is most precious, the treasure, which is to see the salvation of a human being, to see the salvation of a soul come back to the one who created it. And it's not because I was out there trying to forget, but just stuff happens along this race. We get caught up in the thing of, my shoes are not the right shoes for this race. Oh, I don't look like I'm supposed to look right now. And we lose sight of the finish line, which is to make sure that Jesus Christ is preached to every single person. And we do it differently. I'm not saying that when you go back to work, you jump on a table and you start preaching, you're going to get kicked out. They will call security. But how you conduct yourself, how you carry yourself as a student, even that which is beautiful, like I'm going to be the best student this university has ever seen, that's a good thing, as long as it doesn't become your treasure. Because at some point, you're going to get up on that stage. Rico just graduated not so long ago. It was glorious and it was beautiful, but Rico, it was right quick. It was like, and then you're off, and then comes the next lot, and the next lot. And it's a beautiful picture of life, isn't it? Imagine if all your life culminated in that moment where somebody just taps you and gives you that thing, and then that's it. Now what? I want to go back to that question. The thing that you prize, the thing that you treasure right now, how long will it last? What's after that? For me, I'm literally going, Jesus, I pray that that which is in my heart, that which I treasure, is you, because you are forever. You are everlasting and everlasting. That means I will never get full. I'll never get to a point where you're not enough. But if it's to succeed, if it's, as I walk back into corporate, that's the goal, isn't it? To climb the ladder, to be the best of the best in my field. Then what? Okay, I got the top prize. Yay, I made manager. I did this. But like I said, at some point I will retire. My desk will be cleared. My name will come off the office door. That's even if I get an office door. And then what? Then somebody else will replace me. But I do know that if I spoke to somebody and said, listen, there is this king who left perfection, climbed into a human body, was confronted with the brokenness of that which he created. Can you imagine that? Jesus Christ is walking onto earth, seeing us broken as we are. And he must have looked at the Father and said, Dad, this is not how we created it to be. This is not what we meant for it to look like. And then he goes, I'm going to literally die so that they might come back into perfection. Can you imagine that? If you think about what Jesus Christ has done for you, take a moment to just think about it. It doesn't have to be something spectacular like you saw a vision of 10,000 angels, but the fact that tomorrow morning when you get up, you can face the world, not because you're amazing, but because there's a king that reigns over you. I was raised in the church. I was born in the church. And there's old adages and hymns that says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. You know, all fear is gone. Yeah. That's him. I don't march into tomorrow because I think I've got it all together, but I know that there's a king who's gone beyond tomorrow. And because he lives, I'll face tomorrow. And tomorrow is not guaranteed to be amazing. Tomorrow, in fact, could end. I'm always careful not to say that when I'm preaching, because I've heard so many preachers, apparently, that say that then tomorrow they go home, they go to heaven. I'm a bit afraid of that one. But even if that happened, by the way, here's the hope of Jesus Christ. When we lose people, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. Somebody said it once and said, the reason why losing somebody feels terrible is because the human heart knows, that eternal heart knows that we were never meant to die. We were never meant to cease existing. So we find it difficult to deal with the fact that somebody's gone and they're not here anymore. But the beauty of it is that we now have a king who says, listen, I've gone beyond death and it's glorious because I am there. I was saying to a good friend of mine and I said, you know, I lost some significant people and I lost a very good friend recently. And I said to her, a part of me envies my friend looking at her walk with Jesus Christ. My mortal temporary eyes long to see what her eternal eyes are seeing right now. The beauty and the glory of Jesus Christ. Like, I envy them what they're seeing right now. The perfection of Jesus Christ. The gloriousness of God. I honestly envy them. And there are times when I need to pull myself back so that I don't live the rest of my life going, I just want to get out of here. Because that's not what he meant for us to do. In fact, he meant for us to burn as brightly as possible for his glory so that many more might also have this longing that we have for the eternal. But that can only happen when we treasure that which is glorious and forever, which is Jesus Christ. Up until then, we'll literally be investing our hearts into that which is temporary, that which will fail us at some point. So in closing, I hope I've been short enough. I was hoping that I'd get in within like 30 minutes. I don't want to be long-winded about it. Here's the thing. Start with the end in mind. And I want to ask you, what does your end look like? Be honest with yourself. What does it look like? And if it doesn't look like eternity, it's okay. We get to start. Tonight, you can literally go, Jesus, my ending looks like this. It does not look like you. I'd like a new ending. Israel Hartson sings a beautiful song and he goes, you make all things new, yes, you make all things new, and I will follow you forward. Literally, he can do that tonight. He can do, if you don't know him, I guarantee you, your end is not eternal. Like it won't get beyond the grave. What you prize right now, and I know it's a very pompous statement to say, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, I can promise you that that which you prize will not go beyond the grave. But allow him to come into your heart and watch him give you a goal, if I can say, that goes beyond the grave, so that you too will join, hopefully by the grace of God, all of us who call him Lord and Savior, so that we too can stand together and say, when he says, well done, good and faithful servant, because that is what I'm gunning for. That's what I'm gunning for now, guys. And that means that everything that I do from here onward is shaped by that prize. Like a runner who goes, I am going to win the comrades. Guess what? Hey, do you want to have an extra slice of pizza? No. Not because I think I'm better than you, no, because I've got a race to win. And I know that when I take this right now, I'm literally going, and I'm not hating against pizza, I love pizza, Peter or finishing the race and winning the race? Let's cut it down to that, just that straight. Whatever it is that you prize, Jesus Christ. That's literally the simple truth. That's literally what God is like. Okay, finally, you got to what I wanted you to say. Whatever I prize, Jesus Christ. And if it looks like this and it's not this, then this has to come here. Because can I be honest, even the things that you prize outside of Jesus Christ, it's shallow, it's empty. But can you imagine that which you prize right now coming in under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden he even uses that which would be temporary to serve the purpose of that which is eternal. Your giftings, whatever they may be, under Jesus Christ, I promise you, they have a far greater weight and far greater impact on the world. So let us run. Let us run and fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And to those of us who are in the race and are feeling a little bit beleaguered and weary, I want to say to you, remember that you're running in him who perfects you. No one said that this was going to be a sprint and you're going to get it right. You're going to be on top of your game every single day. Trust in him. Just don't get lost in your head about this walk, this race that you're running right now. Otherwise, that little root will get you. Instead, choose to be honest and say, Jesus Christ, I'm struggling. Lord, I'm struggling right now. This race, this marathon is literally showing me flames and I don't know what to do. So that he might come, that you might rest in him who says, listen, I know this is difficult, but for the joy that is set before you, which is to stand before me as I welcome you home, let's go. I'm going to ask the band just to sing us that song again that we sang last, Lord of Lords. And I want us just to take a couple of minutes to almost want to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, will you show me that Lord of Lords who sits on the throne? Can you imagine one day we will get to stand in the cloud of witnesses next to all of them, the Pauls, the Peters, think of them, Moses, all of them, and we'll raise our hands and say, now unto the Lamb who sits on the throne be glory, honor, and praise. That for me is glorious. I can't wait for that, guys. I might be the new kid on the block, and they're like, relax, he arrived yesterday. He's super excited. But I look forward to seeing him. In fact, actually, I want to see Jesus, that picture, eyes like fire. I'm like, in my head, I'm trying to think, are they like shooting out? Are they like blazing out? And that voice, you know, this, I want to see that conquering king. I look forward to that. I'm excited about that. So now I run with that. If it's like not leading me to Jesus Christ, yeah, guess what? I'm not running that direction. I want to see him. Are there days when I get distracted? Yes, that's the weight. The weight sometimes that comes. And I'm so grateful that even tonight as I speak this, it's speaking to me. God's going, what are the weights? What are the distractions that have got you looking everywhere else except me? And tonight I'm happy to say that, guys, I'm back on Jesus. My eyes are literally fixed upon Jesus. And I pray that you do that too. And if you're not there, it's okay. Like I said, it's okay. Tonight we get to fix that focus. We get to recalibrate our focus. So I'm done. It's glorious, this thing that we do, guys. We serve a king. It's a privilege. We get to tell others about a king who died on top of a hill so that they too might in turn go and tell somebody else about this glorious king. That is our joy in this life. That even when nothing else makes sense, I can go, but I know a king who saved me. And this life, if it doesn't work out, if me leaving and going to do the things that I want to do doesn't work out, guess what? That's okay. God is good. Jesus saves. And I will tell every single soul that I can until the last breath that I have in my body and still know that I've won, that I finished that race, because that is what I treasure now, to stand before him and say, God, Lord, I told them about you. Everything else was then and then some. Matthew 6:33 says, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. To be honest, I used to live for the and these things, but now the seeking first is first. And even if the things don't get added, it's okay. Am I saying that I'm going to be singing la 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 whilst the things that don't get added don't get added? No, I might be sad about them, but they're not the be all and end all of everything. He is. So let's shape our lives around him and our desire for him. And so now we're going to do a little practice run of heaven by singing and literally just declaring our love and adoration for our King. And then after that, there is amazing coffee outside. But more than that, there is this community. If you're new here, it's your first night with us, get to know these awesome people. I can vouch for them. They're amazing. They're amazing. Join this community so that you can finish the race alongside the cloud of witnesses that now surround you. Amen. Let us sing. You may rise.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and his glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363. Email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.